I don't know whose mail site.
I don't know why the video dropped out. Your video dropped out. Is your camera on?
We're live.
Recording.
Tell them to restart the film. No, it's
on.
We're
going to
call you right back, okay?
Okay, I'm going to go. Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to call that. Oh, good. Oh. Okay. Goodbye.
Someone needs to send them on the call list to KBY.
Are these their parts? KBY Bavaria? No.
We have to
say today.
Oh, you're going to do this?
Well, probably.
Okay.
Who's going to take me to Modian?
It says here. Freddy Schwartz. Mm-hmm. There's still no video.
Meh.
Can you see the Rav?
We can see.
Okay, okay, I'm start.
Sorry.
In the beginning of Parshas Vayishlach, Rashi quotes the famous Medrash commenting on the expression that Yaakov Avinu said, I'm loving Garti. But the word Garti is the same letters as Taryag. So he says, even though he lived in Chutzlars, I was still keeping all the Taryag mitzvahs. The Prima Godim has a Sefer HaChumash that's known as Tevas Gome. Gimel Mem Aleph is a Rosh Tevas Gemore Medrash Agode. And every Parsha he has a minimum of three Divrei Torah, one on Gemore, Halacha, one on Medrash, and one on Agode. Agode is Drush. And this Tevas Gome is quoted sometimes by the Pischei Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch in different places. So he has a comment on this pasuk. How is it humanly possible for any person to fulfill all the Taryag mitzvahs? Some mitzvahs are only for Kohanim, some mitzvahs are only for the Levim, some mitzvahs are only for Yisraelim, some are for the Melech, and some are for the non-Melech. Some in Eretz Yisrael, he was in Chutzlort, how can he fulfill it? So one of the suggestions that they give is that the Gemara says, Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, one is able to fulfill the mitzvah of Korbanos by an Neshama Farms Fasein. By talking about the Karbonas. That's how the Gemara has the comment in the last daf, the last omid base, the Maseches Megillah, that Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bama Eda Ki Ir Hashenu, he doesn't mean to say, how do I know you're going to keep your promise? The Moshlam promised he's going to give him there, and he says, so how do I know you're going to keep your promise? Maybe you're going to double cross me. So the Medrash, the Gemara understands the end of Megillah, he's asking, Be'ezes Chus, Bama Eda, Be'ezes Chus, will we have the right to maintain Eretz Yisrael? So the Rabbanu Shalom says, "Kovei Eglim Mushaleshes" means "Bischus Akrovas Akarbanis." And then Avraham Avinu continues the conversation. This part does not appear in the Chumash. Avraham Avinu asked Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "And what's going to be Bisman Shein Beis Hamikdash Kaim? We won't be able to bring Karbanis." So then the Rabbanu Shalom answers him that Bnei Yisrael should recite the Parshas Akarbanis and Mal Ani Alem Kilo Hikrivim, as the pasuk says in the Shalom Afayim Sosenu. So there's a big question whether this Neshama Farm Svaseinu only applies to Karbanas and to building a Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says it applies to building a Beis HaMikdash. Medrash says, Beferish, that Bezman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, we should read Mishnayis Tamid and read the Psukim in Tanakh and the end of the Yecheskel about the measurements of building Beis HaMikdash will be considered as if we fulfilled the mitzvah binyan Beis HaMikdash. So we know that Neshama Farm Svaseinu applies to Purim, to the Hakrovas HaKarbanas. And the Drashim add on with respect to building Beis HaMikdash, does it apply even to Matzah and Morah and Kriyas HaTorah? Let's say a person doesn't feel well and he can't go to Shul on Shemim HaMishi, so he should learn Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. Mala and Alem Kilu, he went to Shul, a person is in Siberia years ago and he doesn't have Matzah and Morah, so he should learn through the Shulchan Aruch and it would be considered as if he ate Matzah and Morah, or does it only apply to Karbonah? So the Mabit in his Sefer, Kiryas Sefer, Mabit was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Karo. And just like Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kesem Mishnah on the Rambam, that was apparently the thing at the time, to write a Chibra on the Rambam. So the Mabit wrote the Kiryas Sefer on the Rambam. His wasn't as good as the Kesem Mishnah, so the Kesem Mishnah became much more popular, much more accepted, and is printed on the page. So the Mabit writes, he thinks that it applies to all mitzvahs of Torah. Chavetz Chaim has a whole, Chavetz Chaim put out the not the Shittim Kubetz, is what he called not the Likutei Halachos,
Sefer Derech, Sefer Mitzvos HaKasher,
no on Kochim, it's not called Shittim Kubetz, yes? I forgot the Chavetz Chaim Sefer on Kochim, so he has all Hakdamah there. where he writes about the importance of learning Kodshim. So he quotes all the Rishonim that he found. They all say Pe'echod, that it's only by Karbonos. That this Inyan in the Shalma Farm Sosenu only applies to Beis HaMikdash, Karbonos, Purim, doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. But here, I think that's what the Prima Gaudim suggests over here. How is it humanly possible for anybody to fulfill all the Taryag mitzvahs? So one suggestion is, the Kohanim are doing their thing, the Levim are doing their thing, and all together, all of Klal Yisrael are fulfilling the Taryag mitzvahs. So Klal Yisrael are Reb Mezebezeh, so he's doing some of the mitzvahs, I'm doing some of the mitzvahs, we're all Yetzir. That's what it means in the Nusach HaTfilah that a lot of people say, they say a tefillah before you put on tefillin and before you put on a tzitzit. So you say, Hinemuch HaMezumah L'Kayim, a certain mitzvah, and you end up, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. What do you mean, B'Shem Kol Yisrael? This mitzvah that I'm about to do should count for all of Klal Yisrael, because all of Klal Yisrael is one body, so it's as if everybody's putting on tefillin today. That's one. Yeah, but over here, there was no other person. I mean, who else is doing the mitzvahs? It's Kogavino. Well, who else is doing mitzvahs over here? So the other suggestion is that Yankvino was learning the halachas, and whoever learns the halachas, malan ne'alem kilu hikrivim. So that's questionable. Does that really apply to all the Taryag mitzvahs, or perhaps it only applies, to the mitzvahs of korbanos? The pasuk says that Yankvino was very frightened. Vayir Yankmiyod vayetzalo. He was very scared that Esau was going to kill him. What was he afraid? Rashi quotes the kasha from the Gemara in Baruchas Daf. What was he afraid? HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him. Hinenechi imoch ishmatich v'chol ha-shatilech v'ashi v'sich al ha-domo. Baruch Hu promised him. So he got a nevuah. So Rashi quotes, the Gemara says there in Baruchas, he was concerned, Shema Yigram Hachet. Maybe he sinned a little bit, so maybe the sins will cause that the nevuah, the taiva that he was given, the haftoche, will no longer be binding. So Rabbi Yitzchok Khanan has in the Hakdamah to one of his volumes of Shalos HaTshuvos, he works on this kasha, the Rambam quotes a klal from the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, that whatever the Nevi'im were given a Nevuah L'Toivo, even if the people no longer deserve it, the Nevuah will be fulfilled. The Nevuah L'Ruah, that Od Arbaim Yom V'Ninvei Napoches, that in 40 days Ninveh will be destroyed, so Nevuah L'Ruah is understood that it's only if they don't do tshuva. If they do tshuva, it's good. Or the Nevi'im prophesied that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed, or whatever. Or when Yeshayahu Navi visited the Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and he was sick, and he went to Mibbak HaChayla, so instead of telling him he's going to get better, he said, you're going to die because you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Pirei Berivyon. And then he did Shuvah, and then his life was extended another 15 years. So whenever you have a Nevuah L'Ruah, it's understood that it's Halat Tanai, that there won't be any Shuvah. The person does tshuva, so the Nevuah L'Ruah will not be fulfilled. But in the Nevuah L'Toivo, it will always be fulfilled, even if the person doesn't deserve it later on. So what do you mean, Yaakov Avinu was afraid? Vayir Yaakov Miyod vayetzelo shema yigram achet, but the Nevuah L'Toivo is not chayzer. So Abitz Kohanan has a teretz on the kasha. He says, you look in the Rambam explains in Hilchas Yisrael HaTorah, when he talks about Nevuah, and you have to listen to Nevi'im, whoever doesn't listen, Navi, so when he talks about why is it so that a Nevuah L'Toivo will never be overturned, so he says, if a Nevuah L'Ruah, Nevuah L'Toivo, everything can be overturned, they have no way to tell whether anybody's a Navi, Emes, or Navi Sheker. A Navi has to give us some simanim to identify him as a Navi, so I'll give simanim. And then it'll be overturned because they don't deserve, it won't be fulfilled. So the Navi is going to say, it's not my fault, they no longer deserve it or something. So you'll undermine the whole Nemanus of a Navi. So the Rambam says, that's the reason why Nevuah L'Toivo will never be overturned. So Rabbi Yitzchok Kohanan says, that's only if the Nevuah L'Toivo was told to someone other than me. The Navi was told the Nevuah and he relays it to me. So even in the world, the Torah can also be overturned. So nothing is absolute. So you can never rely on a Navi. But here, Yaakov Avinu got the Nevuah himself. So it's not a question of him trusting the Navi. He knows that it was originally a Nevuah. And since it was a direct Nevuah, so even in the world, the Torah can also be overturned. That's Rabbi Yitzchok Kohanan's suggestion. There's a famous comment from the Vilna Gaon on the 8th Pasuk. Vayishlach is the 8th Parsha, starting from Bereishis Noach Lech Lecha Vayero. And the 8th pasuk is Kantoite Mikol HaChasadim and Mikol HaEmes, I don't deserve anything. So the Vilna Gaon has a comment on the Gemara in Sota. The Gemara has a discussion about Talmid HaChachamim, How careful do they have to be about arrogance? So what Amira says, that Talmud Chacham should have a little bit of shminish abishminis. He should have a little bit of gaiva to himself. He's going to be very humble, so then he won't command the respect of the Balabatim. Why the Shir Shminish Abishminis, an eighth of an eighth, is 164, so the belt says it's bottle b'shishi. So if he has a little bit, especially we're learning every day this year, so if he has a little bit of gaiva, so it'll be bottle b'shishi. But it's a little bit, it's there, so that's enough to command the respect of the Balabatim. So they say this famous, and then the conclusion of the Gemara is no, he shouldn't even have Shminish Abishminis, lo mino, he shouldn't have arrogance and shouldn't even have a miktsas of arrogance. It's not proper to have the shminish and mishminis. So that's where we usually learn Parshat Pshat. Shminish and mishminis means 164. So they say a word from the Vilna Gaon. They said shminish and mishminis refers to the 8th pasuk and the 8th parsha. Talmid Chacham should always have the attitude, kontoite mikol hasadim and mikol hemes, asher asisa zavdecha. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for the tzaddikim, they always have the feeling that they don't really deserve it. The Gemara Chulin has a fascinating comment on the pasuk that says later, "Vayivasa Yaakov levado." Yaakov Avinu is crossing over the river, and he schleps all the things with him. And then somebody mugs him in the middle of the night, and they start beating him up, and he's fighting with Sora Shalesov over here. So, what did he have to schlep all the things? The children didn't want to help, so he should. The Gemara says he left Pach and Ketanim on the other side. So the children said, "Dad, leave it. It's junk, you don't need it. Leave it in chutzlot, you don't have to schlep everything." And he insisted on bringing all the pachim ketanim. So the Gemara makes an interesting comment. Tzadikim mamayim chaviv aleihem migufim. They're more concerned about their property than they are about their bodies. He knew that somebody, it's Washington Heights, he knew that somebody may mug him. And he's so concerned about his pachim ketanim, he finds it essential to schlep them. The children didn't want to help him. Dad, leave the junk over there, you don't have to bring it over. So Yaakov Avinu is more concerned about the Pachim Ketanim HaMayim than about Gufam. And then somebody did pick a fight with him. So the Gemara says, why? Why such a crazy attitude that HaMayim Chavu Aleihem Gufam? The Gemara says, why? Because all of their money is kosher fadin te geld. They deserved it, they earned it, and it's all theirs. If it's easy come, it's easy go. If you cheat in business, and you know that you're not really entitled to this money, so it doesn't bother you so much to leave some of the junk behind. You know you're not entitled to it in the first place. So you leave it behind, it doesn't matter. But if it's all hard-earned money, and nothing is bigzela, and you gave all the tzedakah you had to, so that's why, because they're not nenim and agezel. They're really entitled to all of the money that they have. The pasuk tells us after this incident with the malach that the malach had broke his leg. In the chumash, it's a little unclear who won the fight. In the haftarah, it says Bayasar Yankev the malach bayuchalo. In the haftarah, it says that Yankev Avina won the fight. Makes it clear. So Yankev won the fight. So the pasuk says Alken leyoch menei soz gid hanoshe. Therefore, we have the mitzvah of gid hanoshe. What's the therefore? Because of this. What's the connection? So the Rishonim have different interpretations. So the Cheskuni has a suggestion. Cheskuni, I think, was a contemporary of Rashi. He refers to Rashi Shlita. Rashi is still alive when he writes. I think so. So the Cheskuni gives an... Cheskuni always has very fascinating original interpretations. A lot of times he has exactly the same thing as the Ibn Ezra word for word, so there must be something wrong over here. Either the copyist took from the Cheskuni, put in the Ibn Ezra, or took from the Ibn Ezra, put in the Cheskuni. Can't be that Shnei Nevi'im is not in the Signal Echad. They're not going to write exactly word for word the same. So there's something fishy over there, but the Cheskuni always has something fascinating. So he has a suggestion of Kein Lech Menei Yisrael Gina Noshe. They knew that it was their fault that the father was beaten up, because they could have helped him. If he would have had all of his children helping him carry all the luggage, so this mobster wouldn't have beaten him up. He wouldn't have broken his leg. So it's all the fault of the children that they were mezalzal and kibbutz as a kapara to remember forever that they did wrong by not helping the father and schlepping all of the luggage. They were mekabel on themselves not to eat gidonosha. The Chumash records it to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hiskim al yedeihem, and the Rebbe Shlom gave it to us as a mitzvah. But originally it started that they were mekabel this practice as a kapara for having violated the mitzvah of kibbutz. And then the other pshat that many Rishonim suggest is, again, the Malachim represent Teva. there are different kinds of malachim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisayda Tov, when he talks about angels, so he says, I think that there are 10 different categories of malachim. There are malachim who have bechira chavshis, and others who don't have. So there are a group of malachim who just represent teva. The Gemara has an expression in the first perek in Chulin, Ein lucho kaleisa v'yesed melamato, every blade of grass on this earth that grows, she'en lucho malach melamayla, hamako osavom alo gadel. Grass grows because the angels instructed that it has to grow. The angels hit the grass, and they instructed to grow. It means that that's one group of angels that they run, oilam kemen hogenoi. They see to it that the teva goes on in the world, that nature continues to function. So when Yaakov Avinu fights with a malach, it means that the Jewish nation are in contradiction to teva. So who wins the fight? So the pasuk says, we get a broken leg, but we basically win the fight. The klal yisrael is lemaila min hateva. That's what the pasuk. That's what the lesson is. That when the Jewish people fight with the malach, the klal yisrael is lemaila min hateva, and that's how Kain liyochem and Esau's gein anasha to remember this lesson in life. That's the sugya that appears in the Gemara in the end of Masechus Shabbos. The whole sugya, it's over a blot long. The Gemara goes cases and cases and psukim and psukim. That ain't mazol leYisrael, that the Jewish people is not subject to the shlita sakachovim vehamazolus. Means that the chukki hateva don't apply to klal Yisrael. I think there's a tshuvas haRashba where he points out ein mazol Yisrael means the klal Yisrael as a whole is not tachas shlita sakachovim hamazolus. Doesn't necessarily mean that individual people are not subject to teva. Individual people were burnt to death and were killed in the gas chambers, and they were burnt to death at the stake. But it means the Klal Yisrael will always survive. Whenever there's a fight between Teva and Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael wins. I think the Maritz Chayis on the first daf in Saita quotes this Tshuvas HaRashba. When do you apply Ein Mazal Yisrael? Ein Mazal Yisrael on the Klal Yisrael as a whole, not on individual people. The Mishnah in Perek Yiranoshe has a machlekes hatanoim, and the simple reading of the machlekes is whether the mitzvah of Yiranoshe was nitan the Bnei Yisrael right away. Akein leyochem Bnei Yisrael Yiranoshe, the children of Yaakov Avinu were already given the mitzvah of Yiranoshe at that time. But no, the mitzvah was not given until after Maimon HaSinai. And the reason why Pasuk Lamed Gimel appears over here at the end of chapter Lamed Beis is that it was really Bnei Yisrael doesn't mean Bnei Yankov, it means Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel later, Klal Yisrael after Maimon HaSinai. The reason why it's written now is that you should know what the historical background of the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe is, that it relates to this incident. That's a simple reading of the Mishnah. The Rambam, based on a Medrash Rabba, Bereshis Rabba, does not learn like that. Rambam assumes that according to all the Tanoim, the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe was given already right away in the days of Yankov Avinu. And the Machlekes HaTanaim is why are we still obligated to observe the mitzvah Bizman HaZeh. So the minority opinion is that when it was given to Yaakov Avinu, it was given and it's binding throughout all the future generations. And we don't pass like that. The accepted opinion, Lahalacha, is that whatever was given to any Navi other than Moshe Rabbeinu is by definition Arusha. The reason why we today still observe the mitzvah of Gid Anosh is because it was repeated at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the pasuk that the Gemara Megillah quotes on the first daf and Beis HaMinhal. The Gemara quotes, the Mashua is not sure which pasuk the Gemara is alluding to, either the concluding pasuk in Vayikra or the concluding pasuk in Bamidbar, which are practically identical. That Ela mitzvos v'chukim l'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai al b'nei Yisrael, that only mikan v'yelech en novi v'asher l'chadish dover miyata, the only mitzvos that are binding throughout all the future generations, that the word mitzvah means. Rashi writes at the beginning of Parashat Tzaveh, and Loshen Tzaveh, Loshen Zeres, Miyad Oledoros. So the only thing that's a mitzvah, Ela mitzvos v'chukim ha-mishpatim, the only things that are mitzvahs, that are binding throughout all the future generations, are those mitzvahs that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The other Nevi'im are never given a mitzvah, they're given Ha-Rashua. And that's basically the difference between Nevuah and Torah. We have a din ha'ivah al divrei novi is chai misa v'dev shamayim. That's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin around daf peites. So the Minchas Chinuch has a famous kasha. Moshe Rabbeinu was a novi, so whoever talks lashon hara is chai misa v'dev shamayim. Whoever doesn't say kriyas shma bizmano, it's a din deraisa was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. Whoever does any avera is chai misa v'dev shamayim, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a novi. It's ha'ivah al divrei novi. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a suggestion, and others give other suggestions. So years ago, Rav Soloveitchik gave a suggestion, and now that's the going pshat, that's the accepted pshat in all the yeshivas. They all forgot that Rav Soloveitchik is the one who said this before everybody else. That Oyval Divrei Navi Misa V'Dei Shemayim, by definition, Divrei Nevuah means Hayrasha. Some of the things that Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael were also Hayrasha, not to leave over the mon till the morning, to knock on the next door neighbor's door on Erev Pesach, to ask for matonis. That was all Hayrasha, so whoever would violate that would talk to Bichai Mitzvah De Shemayim. But whoever violates mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu told to Bnei Yisrael that are binding throughout all the future generations, so that's not Oival Divrei Navi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, but those dinim are not B'Toras Nevuah, that's B'Toras Torah. Torah mitzvahs means dinim that apply throughout all the future generations. And the Rambam there emphasizes this in the Pirush HaMishnah, in the end of Gilui Anoshi, he has a long paragraph. So he says, even our observance today of the mitzvah of Bris Milah is not because it was given to Avraham Avinu. What was given to Avraham Avinu was only as a Hayru Ashur. And the fact that it's still binding today is because it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and Harsina in Parshas Tazria. So since it was repeated to Moshe Rabbeinu and he gave it the Torah's Torah, so then it's binding the Torah. Until the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, the other Nevi'im only gave the Torah's Hayru Ashur. It's taka a fundamental principle. That's what the Rambam means when he has the two Ikari Hamuna, two of the 13 Ikari Hamuna. So one is that we believe in prophecy, the other one is we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. So we believe in prophecy, that's one Ikari Hamuna, that there are those who believe in God, but they think that God created the world and he disappeared. He couldn't care less, he doesn't pay attention to what's happening. Others are saying, no, that God created the world and he knows what's happening, but it's impossible to communicate with God and God can't communicate with us. And we assume it's all wrong, that God created the world and God knows what's happening and he can communicate. He sometimes speaks to us and we can sometimes, we daven and he listens to us. The Yisoid of Tfilah is included in the Yisoid of Nevuah because it means there's communication. There is possibility of communication between God and man. Both ways communication. We can daven and he listens, and he can give nevuah, and we listen. So that's the Rambam has the two principles, the two ikarim out of 13. So one is we believe in nevuah. There can be and there was communication. There will be in the future. And there's the other kind of communication. We can daven and the Rabbanu Shalom can listen to our prayers. And the second yisoid in nevuah that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest navi. What does that mean? That we're giving him a grade. Moshe Rabbeinu gets an A plus. And Yeshaya gets an A, and Yecheskel gets an A minus, and what does Hoshea get, and what does Chagai get, and what does Amos get? You're grading the Nevi'im. So it doesn't mean like that. What it means, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im, what it means is Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was given Torah and mitzvahs that are binding the Torah. The others were only given Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu is sometimes given Nevuah, Lehi Rasha is sometimes given Dinim Ledoros, but the other Nevi'im are never given Dinim Ledoros. That's what the Ragat Shavar, that's what Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchever writes in his Sefer Kedushas Levi on Chumash, commenting on the Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos. That Rashi quotes from the Tanoim there, from the Sifrei, Kol Anavim Misnabim Mekoy Amar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kor Amar Hashem Kachatzos Halayla, Ani Yotzei Besech Mitzrayim. And many of the prophets introduced their prophets by saying, Kor Amar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher level of nevuah that sometimes he says, Zeh HaDavar Shetziv Hashem. What's the difference between Koy Amar Hashem and Zeh HaDavar? We'll be back. Okay, so Yitzchak Berditchever writes in his Sefer Kedushas Slavim that he thinks that that's the kavana of the Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Matos, that Kol Anumim Misnabim B'Koy Amar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu also says Koy Amar Hashem. Koy Amar Hashem means to see a chalom, a vision, Amare, and you interpret it using your own words. So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says V'chatzos halayla, ani yotzei b'sech Mitzrayim, that's a Hayru Ashur. That's not a din l'doros. So on that occasion, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was v'as pe'gloria she'ena meira. But Mosef Alei, Moshe Rabbeinu, that many times Moshe Rabbeinu was given a nevuah l'doros, he's given Torah mitzvahs. So then it says Zeh HaDavah. Zeh HaDavah means direct dictation, no more vision. And you have to interpret using your own words. This time the Rabbanu Shalom gives him direct dictation, oisius and nekudas. And that's why we have the ability to be medayik every word and every letter in the Chumash. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik suggested as the teretz on the kasha of the Minchas Chinuch. That Oyval Divrei Navi Chamisa V'Dei Shemayim means if you violate a tzivoy of nevuah, if you violate a din that's Hayru Ashur, But if Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, But if Moshe Rabbeinu tells you a din l'doros and you violate that, that's not called Oivra al Divrei Novi. He is a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Novi. But that's Oivra al Divrei Mitzvah. That's Oivra al Mitzvah. Oivra al Torah. Torah Mitzvah means dinim that are binding throughout all the future generations.
Can you start again from the Kedushas Levi? We got a little bit.
The Kedushas Levi in his Sefer on Parshas Matos interprets that that's the Pshat in the Rashi. In the name of the Medrash, and the beginning of Parshas Matos, that Kol Anavim Misnabe B'Koyam Hashem, including Moshe Rabbeinu. He says Koyam Hashem. And sometimes Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher level of Nevuah of the other prophets, that he says Zel Dova Shatziv Hashem. And this is what it means in the Gemara Yevam, is that the other prophets only had Nevuah Baspikloria Shein Amir, and Moshe Rabbeinu had Nevuah Baspikloria Amir. What does it mean? What's the difference between Koyam Hashem and Zeh HaDover? So he says, whenever there's a nevuah that's just a hayra shua, so the Rabban Shalom doesn't give a direct dictation. He gives bahaloim adababo, or mara. He gives a mara. He gives a vision. Bamara elav esvada, bahaloim adababo, he gives a vision, and the Novi has to interpret what he saw using his own words. So that's a hayra shua, so that's called aspaklori she'enemir. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Novi who was given dinim that applied throughout all the dairas, so such a nevuah was given as a direct dictation, oisius and ikudus. So direct dictation, that's called zeh hadavar asher tziva Hashem. This is exactly the wording that the Ribbono Shel Olam instructed me. So that's why one is called oivra al divrei novi, and one is called oivra al divrei Torah mitzvah. The Torah mitzvah, we have a whole system. Sometimes there's misa b'dei shemaim, sometimes there's chorus, and sometimes there's malchus, and sometimes there's misa, and sometimes there's none of the above. Oivra al divrei novi, there's always misa b'dei shemaim. So if a person talks Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara is a din l'doros. Just because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, it doesn't mean that that's called Oiv al Divrei Navi. Al Divrei Navi means when the tzivoy is only a Dvar Nevuah, when it's only a Hayru Ashur. So that's probably what the Rama means by the second Iker. The Rama has two Iker, and one Iker is that we believe that Nevuah exists. Communication is possible in both directions. We can communicate with HaKadosh Baruch, and He has the ability to communicate with us. And the second Ikra in Nevuah is that Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu was on a higher level of that of the other prophets. It does mean to give A plus and A minus. He's not giving the award at graduation, the Nevuah award. He's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was Al Pidin a higher level. Al Pidin means that it was Torah mitzvahs. And every so often Moshe Rabbeinu would get a Nevuah was a Hirashah. That would be on the level of Aspikulari Yoshein Amira. The only time he was given the direct dictation, that's what the Gemara refers to as Aspikulari Hamira. That when he was given dinim l'doros. So this Pirush HaMishnayos LaHarambam in Perigid Anoshe, this is very important. He defines this as an Iker and Amunah, that all the Torah and the Mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, they were never given to Shar Nevim. Shar Nevim were only given Nevuah. The Pesukim discuss that Yaakov Avinu was going to bump into Esav. So the Pesukim say the way he arranged, everybody, the whole family is bowing down in the presence of Esav HaRasha, and Dina is missing. What happened? V'dina heichen hoisa, where is Dina? So Rashi quotes in Medrash that he was afraid that Esav would see a good-looking girl, and he would somehow finagle to get her for himself, so he locked her up in a box. And then the Medrash says that he was punished for locking her up in a box. L'mas me'reyeu chesed. He went out of his way, locked her up, so that's why he was punished, and she was attacked by Shechem ben Hamor, the Goy. He was afraid she would be taken by Esav, and then worse thing happened. She was taken by Shechem ben Hamor. So why was he punished? What did he do wrong? He wants to protect his daughter. He doesn't want his daughter to marry such a Rasha like Esav. So the Pasha Pshat is like the Mesilas Yesharim writes. Mesilas Yesharim writes that just like there's a din of Lasas Mdamim Bebeisecha, a person has to be careful not to allow any dangerous things to be around the house, to leave live wires open, to have faulty ladders, to have a house without a makib. Lasas Mdamim Bebeisecha, you always have to be careful for your good health. So to this adin, Ushmatem is Mishmati, the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrimos, where the Pshuto Shel Mikra means we should observe all the mitzvahs that Hashem gave us, but there's an additional level of interpretation that the Gemara gives in Yevamos, and Daf Chafal from an Aleph, Mishmarti Mishmarti, Asum Mishmeres LeMishmarti. That's one of the three things that the Mishnah quotes from Nachik Neses Agdol on the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Asus Siog LaTorah. We all commanded to observe Harchokis and Siogim. So how far should you make a siog? So a siog has to be within reason. Let's say you're going to stand near the train tracks, you may fall over. You're going to stand near the edge of the cliff, you may fall over. So you have to stand back a little bit. The guy's going to stand all the way back, 100 yards back. That's stuff ridiculous. There's no sakana in being a yard away. If you're within a foot, with a few inches nearby, that's dangerous. But if you're very far back, there's nothing to worry about. A person shouldn't exaggerate when he's shouldn't bend over backwards in a ridiculous fashion to avoid danger. He has to do things within reason. So the same thing when a person whenever you exaggerate, it's an act of sheker. So a person shouldn't exaggerate when he's making a harchoke. That's what the Ovis Rav Nosson says, commenting on that Mishnah, says Siog LaTorah. The Ovis Rav Nosson says, Ezi Siog Shasas HaTorah LiDvareha. What's an example of a Siog that you find in Chumash? We should pattern our Siogim after the Siogim that the Torah has. So the Ovis Rav Nosson gives a few examples. The Torah has it in Alisha Benidus Tumasa Lo Sikrav. And then the Torah made a Siog. To a Isha Nida Lo Sikravu. Even Kira Basar is also. It's a dance with a Nida, to hug a Nida, to kiss a Nida, is also, even though you're not actually violating the Isser itself. The Isser Gil Arayis is Kuris. And Kira Basar is an Isser Lav, and the simple reading of the Abbas Ramdasan is that that's an Isser Daraisa. That's a Siog Shasa Torah Lidvareha. Or the Abbas Ramdasan gives another example. A Nazir doesn't want to get drunk. So we understand he doesn't want to drink wine. He's not going to get drunk from eating grapes. So the Torah says you're not allowed to eat grapes because that may lead the person into getting drunk. So that's the siyog shasa Torah l'dvareha. So what it means is we should pattern our siyogim after the siyog that the Torah makes within reason. You shouldn't be too little. You have to make a significant harchoke. You have to stand far away enough from the danger, either the physical danger or the spiritual danger. But you shouldn't walk away 100 miles away. That's an exaggerated chashash. See, that's how Rashi writes in the beginning of Maseches Beitzah. Asum mishmeres l'mishmati v'lo mishmeres l'mishmeres. You're not permitted to make a gzera l'gzera. Make a gzera l'gzera. That's ridiculous. It's too far away. So that's what they usually say over here on this medrash. Yaakov Avinu is afraid that Esav is going to fall in love with this good-looking girl and is going to finagle to take her. So make sure that she doesn't wear a pretty dress. Make sure she doesn't wear her hair in a fancy way. She shouldn't put on lipstick. She should look ugly today. That's all. He's not going to want an ugly looking girl. Just make sure she doesn't dress nice. He had to put her in a box and nail the box closed. It's such an exaggeration. So that's what the Lashon of the Mesilas Yesharim is. A person has to act with Zahiris. Umin HaZahiris Shalola HiZoher Yosemi Dai. Part of Zahiris is that you shouldn't be overcautious. Overcautious is also stupid. Overcautious can cause a person to fall in. A lot of times people become Bali Tshuva, they decide they want to become Bar Medakdik and Mitzvah, so they become so farfrumt with so many Siyogim and so many Hachokins and so many Chumris that life becomes impossible. So they just turn everybody off and then they themselves give up. It's impossible to lead such a life full of Chumris. So everything is going to collapse, everything is going to plot. You can't live up to such a high, difficult standard. So it has to be within measure. Lo mishmeres l'mishmarti. The pasuk says later when Yaakov Avinu approached the city Shechem, Vayichan es penei ha'ir. So the Gemara, pasuk Yudches, Perek Lamed Gimel, pasuk Yudches. The Gemara Masechu Shabbos on Daf Lamed Gimel has three different interpretations on the pasuk. All three outside of Shavu Shebehem was that Yaakov Avinu was very involved in Tikkun Ha'olam. That a lot of non-Jews make a mistake, and a lot of Jews make a mistake. I think as if the Jews live in a different world. We're only interested in our things. That's not true. Like Avraham Avinu says, Ger b'toshav anochi imochem. I'm a toshav. I'm working with the rest of mankind to work on their issues. And I'm a ger. I feel like a stranger. I have so many things that I absolutely don't share in common with you. Shabbos and Kashrus and all the mitzvahs atar that mean nothing to the Umas HaOlam. So everyone has to figure out exactly the balance for the Ger B'Toshav. So we all have things in common with the Umas HaOlam. We all have to do Tikkun HaOlam. So the Gemara has three suggestions. What does it mean by Yichan as Pnei Hu'ir? He gave Chayin to the city. He improved the situation of the city. So one interpretation is that he introduced a coin system for them. Until then, they used to always barter. Everybody had to schlep all the chickens and all the eggs and all the behemoths, machlep par bahamar, everything was barter. And he introduced the system of cash, a coin system. Second interpretation the Gemara gives is that he introduced a shopping mall. Instead of going shopping at 25 different locations, you have on one block, you have all the stores, and you can shop for everything on the same block. And the third interpretation of the Gemara is that he improved the hygienic conditions by introducing Bote Merchatzos. He introduced public bathhouses, that the people should clean their bodies in order that they'll be healthier. So it means that the Jewish people have an obligation to improve the world in economics and in shopping and in everything, in all, in cleanliness and health and nutrition and everything. That's why the Jews got such a high percentage of the Nobel Awards. The Nobel Awards are for improving Western culture, and the Jews are the ones who invented the whole Western culture. The Jews are responsible for the whole Western culture. So that's the one interpretation that the Gemara has. That Yaakov Avinu was very involved in the world, because he was zechut to a nest, that he was nitzol from Esav, so he felt he has to give something back to the world. Just parenthetically, the Chazon Ish has a famous comment on this, that Yaakov Avinu was misaken matbeya, that some of the sociologists claim that money is an evil of society, that man invented this concept of money, and if he wouldn't have any money, people would lead more normal lives. Because there's such a concept of money, so people like to amass a lot of money and they do criminal activities in order to get money, in order to get rich, and so on and so forth. So the Chazon Ish says that he thinks Al-Pidin is not correct. It's not an evil of society. The Pasuk praises Yaakov. He added chayim to the city, and the Gemara has one interpretation, that he introduced a system of cash, a system of coins. Then he says, Chazon Ish writes, the halacha recognizes a difference between tiva and peret. Matbeya is cash, and peret is commodities. Everything in the world is divided into two things. Either it's tiva or it's peret. Either it's cash or it's shavi kesef. And there are certain cases, the Gemara has three cases, where the halacha says that shavi kesef is not kesef. Two of them are dinim deraisa. One is that you can't do pidyon ma'asisheni on shavi kesef. You have to do dafka on kesef sheish ol of tzura. And the second din deraisa is that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah machza shekel by giving shavi kesef. You need dafka kesef. So if the Rebbe Shlomo gave two mitzvahs, pidyon ma'asisheni and machza shekel, which can only be fulfilled if you have an institution of kesef, so obviously kesef, cash, is not an evil of society. This is the perfect part of the perfect world as visualized by the Torah, that you should have tiv and you should have peret. So this is what Yaakov Avinu did. He improved the city by introducing the monetary system. And the Medrash has another interpretation, Vayichan es pnei ho'ir, that he was kaveh tchum Shabbos. He pitched his tent on the outside of the city Shechem, and then he told the children, tomorrow is going to be Shabbos, Akan tchum Shabbos, you can't go any further. It's another interpretation, Vayichan es pnei ho'ir. Yer Sameach has in the Meshech Chochma an interesting suggestion on that Medrash. He was kaveh tchum Shabbos, what is it referring to? So he suggests that maybe what it means is the following. You have that Hanefesh HaShurasa B'choron, that Avraham Avinu was Megayres HaAnoshim, the Sora Megayres HaAnoshim. They were going out of their way to do kirov activities on all the Umas Olam, proselytizing, they're going proselytizing, preaching monotheism and so on. Yitzchak also, and Yankov originally also like that, because the Pasuk says, Yichi Yaakov Eretz Meguri Aviv Be'eretz Kinoan. What do you mean, Be'eretz Meguri Aviv? So the Medrash has an interpretation. Meguri means Miloshin Geiris. And the country, in the country where his father and his grandfather used to be Megar people, where Avram and Yitzchak used to be Megar people. And also he was also Megar people, Yaakov Avinu. Until this occasion, after all of the 12 Shvatim were born, then he decided he doesn't need to do any more outreach for the Umas Olam. Now he's only going to work on inreach. Adkan Tchum Shabbos, we're not going to go outside of the Jewish nation. We're going to work on our own children to see to it that they should be observant. They should be Shomrei Mitzvos. So that's what the Meshech Chochma suggests, that maybe the position of the Jewish people changed at this time. Until the time of Yaakov Avinu, only one of the children had the Inyan Ho'eliki transmitted. Avraham Avinu only had one child, Yitzchak. Yitzchak Yikar L'Chazera, and Yishmael was a goy. And Yitzchak had two sons, Yaakov and Esav, who were twins. mamish twins, and Yaakov had the Inyan Ha'alaki, and Esav didn't. But Yaakov Avinu was mitosa shlema, so now we don't have to look for anybody else. The Jewish people, all the children they have are going to be Jewish. So this is the group that we're working on. That Atkan Tchum Shabbos. We don't have to go outside of Atkum. Now we have, from now on, we have to concentrate on the Jewish people alone. The Pasuk says in Yishai that the Jewish people are supposed to serve as an Or LaGoyim. But the Meshul Chachma assumes that that means Memela. Not that we go out of our way to we're going to preach, we're going to publish essays in English for the Goyim to read. No, we have to work on our own Medina, we have to work on our own families and on our own people. Then Memela, this will have an effect on the Umasodom. The Umasodom will see that the Jewish people have beautiful family life, and they have a beautiful, clean Medina, and they have wonderful government, and honest people with integrity, and nice businessmen. So they'll see that how nice it is to lead a life, a proper life like this, and we will serve as an Or LaGoyim. They'll see that they should do the same thing as well. But we shouldn't go out of our way, b'kum v'aseh, to do that. Just the Torah tells us how to act. So memela, by our acting properly, this will have a hashpah on everybody else. See, many Jews misunderstand this, and many non-Jews misunderstand also. They think that the Jews are only interested in their mitzvahs. They're never interested in improving the world. This is certainly not true. The Ribbono Shel Olam gave it tzivui Torah Marishon la'avdo l'shamra. He has an obligation to work to improve the world, and the Jewish people are part of that obligation. We have the same obligation Dumas Olam have, plus an additional 613 mitzvahs on top of that. But that's like Avraham Avinu said, I'm a Ger V'Toshav. In certain areas, I'm a Toshav. I'm working together with everybody else to improve the world. And that's why Yaakov Avinu says, V'yichanas p'nei hu'ir. He improved the chen of the city by introducing the Bote Merchatzoes, and by introducing the Madbeya, and by introducing the shopping malls, and so on. The Jews have the obligation. There is a Gemara in Tainus, where the Gemara says in the first paragraph, there was an old man who was planting a tree that took, it was 20 years till anything would grow. So somebody asked the old man, you think you're really going to live 20 years to eat the pears of the tree? You're already so old. So he says, I don't think I'm going to live so long, but when I was born, I came into a world where there were these kind of trees. So obviously people in the earlier generations planted the trees, even though they didn't get to use them, they planted them for us. I feel obligated that I should plant for the next generation. So the Jewish people have, that's what the Mashmo said, the Jewish people have an obligation to improve the whole situation in the world, even if it's not going to improve our situation. You have to work for the improvement of society, health-wise, nutrition-wise, and economics, and so on. Shopping malls, and the matbeis, and the mechatzois, everything. We have to work on all of the fronts. Then we have to take care of our own unique needs, the ger v'toshav. We have to do both. After the whole story of Shechem is described in the Chumash, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Yaakov Avinu, and then he instructs the members of his family, the Hasiris Alei Anecha Sheh B'Toichachem V'Yitar V'Achlifesim L'Asechem. Whoever has an Avodah Zarah, let's get rid of it. What does he do with all the Avodah Zarahs? It says, V'Yitan Oysen Tachas O'Elo Asherim Shechem. He buried them under a tree. So the Rishonim ask on the Pasuk, burying them is sufficient? Isn't there a mitzvah in the Torah? V'baratem Hashemam Asherim Tisrufum Veishiv Sidei Elohim Tigaden. You have to break, you have to destroy the Avodah Zarah. Chor is not enough just to bury it. So I think the Sfarno and several other Rishonim say that over here, the truth of the matter was that Yaakov Avinu got a goy to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Once you're Mevatel Avodah Zarah, it's Mutar Banor, it's not called Avodah Zarah anymore. And this was a chumer that he didn't want to rely on Bitul Avodah Zarah. He wanted to get rid of it legamer. So since Nikra Din, it was really Mutar Banor, and it didn't really require Toni, it wasn't really Toni Ben Meroilom, so all he felt that's enough. Ait Maros and Tachas Sa'ilo Asher Mshchem, to bury it under the tree, that's good enough. So it's interesting, before Vayichan Es Panehu here, you don't find that he's doing this chumra, burying the Avodah Zarah, only after, why? So the Pasuk Pshat and the Pasuk is, after Yaakov Avinu is so involved in Olam Hazeh, in the business world, that he's setting up a monetary system, a coin system, and in the shopping malls that he made, and he introduced the bathhouses and so on for good health of the people. So he's very involved in Olam Hazeh. He's really a Toshav. So So then he realizes, I'd better make a couple of chumras for myself. Kol Zman, he was sitting in the base medrash, minding his own business, so then he didn't need any chumras. But once you live in the outside world, with the Rumas Olam, then it's Gzeirah Shema Yilman Memaiso. You have to introduce chumras. So he introduced this chumra, not even to be nene, from Rabbi Dezora, that a goy was mevatel. Strictly speaking, the goy is mevatel, so it's mutabano. So there's no need to bury it, no need to dispose of it. But since he was already living in the world together with everybody else and improving the society, improving the whole condition, he's working with the Ummah Olam, then he feels he better make a harchoket. That's where the Mesillas Yesharim writes that a lot of people make a mistake. They think that the mitzvah to make harchoket is siogim, that's on the mitzvah on the Brez Nagol. I say siogim atar goes on the Sanhedrin. It doesn't go on each and every individual person. So the Mesillas Yesharim writes, he thinks that that's not correct. He says, whatever gzeris were made by the Talmud, whatever appears in the Talmud, that's binding for everyone, whatever profession they're in, whatever country they live in, whatever generation they live in. But then, depending on what circumstances you happen to be in, if you are in a situation where you're concerned that your situation may lead you to do some avera, then you better make a siyog and a harchoka for yourself. So that's what happened over here. Yankel Avinu all of a sudden sees that he's working, Bayichanas Panei Hoir, he's working with Uma Soilam and all of these mundane situations. So he feels, I better make a gzera and a siyog. So even though the Nochem had been mevatla, but his are strictly speaking, is mutamano, but nonetheless, he felt he doesn't want to have it. He was machmer al atzmo, he wanted to get rid of it. So then the Pasuk says, after the Shechina appears to Yankel Avinu, so it says then, Vayal may all of Elohim. Vayal may all of Elohim, and Pasuk Yud Gimel and Perek Lamed Hei. It's an interesting Pasuk, Vayal may all of Elohim. In other words, Kol Zman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving this Nevuah to Yankel Avinu, the Shechina Mashar on him, and then when the Nevuah finished, the Shechina went away. So the Medrash has a comment on this, which the Ramban has a whole discussion on in the Kuntres and Munah Bitochen. That's the question, who wrote that Kuntres? But many think it was not written by the Ramban. But whoever it is, he writes over there, there's a Medrash that says on this Pasuk that this teaches us that Ha'ovas Hein Hein Amarkova. The fact that the Shechina, Vayal Me, all about came, the Shechina left, Kozman, the Shechina was giving him a Nevuah, Goyi Kal Goyi Mi Mekko, so the Shechina was sure on him, on Yankiv. And then when the Shechina goes away, so then Vayal Me'olav Elokim. So you see, Kol Zman, he was having the Hashvuas HaShechina, that Ha'ovas Hein Hein Amarkova. So the author of the Sefer Emuna Bitochen, that attributed to the Ramban, so he writes that there's a machloikis in the days of the Rishonim whether this statement, Ha'ovas Hein Hein Amarkova, only refers to Avraham Yitzchak and Yankiv, means that they actually had a Hashvuas HaShechina, or does it refer to all the tzaddikim in all the generations? That if you want to know v'halachta b'drocha, if you want to know v'osidbok, so you say ha'ovas hein hein amarkova, the tzaddikim in every generation represent the lakus. That's how the Gemara says v'osidbok chayef shel dovik b'talmid ha'chachamim elo chayef shel dovik b'shechina, the Rabban Shlom is an eish ha'chlohu elo dovik b'talmid ha'chachamim, and that's considered v'osidbok. So that's what the Kuntres and Munah Bitochen that's attributed to the Rabban, that's how he quotes some who interpreted the Medrash like that. Obviously, Hein Hein Amarkova is not only on Avraham Yitzchak and Yankov that they actually had Hashvuas HaShechina, it goes on all tzaddikim. And when you look at a tzaddik, it's as if the tzaddik is the physical embodiment of Elokus. Because every tzaddik polishes up and brushes up on his Tzelem Elokim. He's marked on his Midas Tevis and so on. Everyone was created with Tzelem Elokim. Most people are not careful, so they allow the Tzelem Elokim to get tainted, to get rusty, to get stale, to get dirty. And a tzaddik works on the Tzelem Elokim to improve it and to maintain its clean form, its precise form. So that's what it means. So all the same, Hein Amarkov, all the tzaddikim in all the generations, not necessarily Avraham Yitzchak Yankov, all the tzaddikim always represent the Markov in the sense you look at a tzaddik, you see what it means, Tzelem Elokim. So you can begin to understand what a lakus is like. That's how the Chazal commented on the pasuk, "Es Hashem Elokecha tira es l'rabbis talmid ha'chachamim." The one said there was a Tana Shimon Ha'amsoni, Amilon Nechemi Ha'amsoni. He had a theory that every time the word es appears in the Chumash, it must be marbe something, because you can really write the sentence without the word es. So he thought that S is a riba. Till he got to the pasuk S Hashem Elokecha Tira, so pirish. So he stopped giving drasha because he figured, what can be marba from S? There's only, we believe in monotheism. There's not more than one God. So what do you mean S is l'rabba somebody else? Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then Achubar Rabbi Kiva Velima says Shimon Amsa, he backed out. He said the whole premise is incorrect, and you shouldn't darshan anything from any S. It's all a mistake. Achubar Rabbi Kiva Velima, no. Every time you have an S, it is marba something. And S Hashem Elokechatir the rabbis Talmid Chachamim. Why the rabbis Talmid Chachamim? Because Talmid Chachamim are so close to the Rabban Shel Olam, so they will be a reflection of Elokus. If you want to get a glimpse of what Elokus is like, so look at a nice Talmid Chacham, where he dresses neatly and he doesn't pick his nose in public, and he doesn't wear rubbed out shoes, and he doesn't wear torn trousers, and he doesn't dress like a slob. He dresses and he speaks normally, he acts normally. That's called Tzelem Alekim. HaKadosh Baruch is very elegant. The Rabban Shalom made such a beautiful world. We see his elegance. So part of the Tzelem Alekim that the Rabban Shalom implanted within all of mankind, and then he saw that Baron Lamaka means Tzelem Alekim squared. We have the same DNA. We have the same Ruch Nizdika DNA as the Rabban Shalom. So we were commanded by Halach V'drachav to preserve that Tzelem Alekim. So part of preserving it is to maintain the midas of Elokus. So just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu has elegance to him, so we have to act with elegance. The way we walk and the way we dress and the way we eat. You shouldn't eat with your fingers. You have to eat like a man. You have to dress like a man. You have to talk like a man. Everything, the elegance, is we should pick up from the Rabban Shalom. So if you want to see what Shechina is, a representation of Shechina, Ha'ovas hein hein ha'makove, the Shechina shara an ola tzadikim shebechol dor v'dor. That's the one shot that the Ramban has there in the Kuntres and Munibito. The other pshat only refers to Avraham Yitzchak, who actually had Hashuas Hashchina. According to the pshat that it refers to all the tzaddikim and all the generations, what it means is the Talmid Chachamim represent Elokus. We usually assume, the Gemara usually makes the assumption that one who is a greater Talmid Chacham than the other person probably will have more Midas Tevis and have more Yerushamayim than the other person. The Torah is Mevili De Midas Tevis. Torah is Mevili de Yerushamayim and so on. What exactly was the prophecy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them and then Vayal Miolav Elokim, the Shechina disappeared? So the prophecy was Goya Kagoy Miyem Mekka. You're going to have another Shevet born. He already had all the Shvatim were born, but Binyamin wasn't born yet. Binyamin is born later. Binyamin's going to develop. So Yibak shows up a little to a few psukim later. So Binyamin, the 12th Shevet, is referred to as Goy Kagod. That's what the Gemara has in Horius. Shevet Echad Ikri Goy. Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet is considered a representation of Klal Yisrael. Not only all Klal Yisrael together, what's the significance? In the Sugyan Hayris, it's a machlekes hatanoim, where the Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, with respect to the din of Par Halam Dava Shel Tzibur, that the Chumash says, V'nelam Dava Me'eni HaKohol. If the Sanhedrin Gdolah Sheb Yerushalayim gave a psak in error that a certain Chavi Krisis is mutter, a certain kind of dam is mutter, a certain kind of chelev is mutter, a certain malach is mutter, and then Rov HaTzibur, Rov of the Jews, 51% of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, violated this din based on the mistaken psak of the Bez Nagodol. So then later on, when the Bez Nagodol realized they made a mistake and they reversed the Psak, so you don't require each and every individual person there to should bring a Korban Chatas. The Bez Nagodol brings one Parlam Dovah Shel Tzibur, and everybody gets a Kapora. So the Gemara had, the Mishnah has a Machlekes Hatanaim. The first Perek in Hurry is, every Shevet had its own Bez Nagodol. Rabban HaChumash has this in the beginning of Shoftim, but he quotes it from the Mishnah in Hurry is, every Shevet had some Bez Nagodol who paskin for them. So the Tanaim have the machlegis. They say Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, that it's called Benelam Dova Mi'eni HaKohol. If the Bez Nagodol of the Shevet made a mistake, and Rav 51% of the people in the Shevet followed this erroneous psak, that we would say, we don't require of each one that they should bring a chatas. Let the Bez Nagodol of the Shevet bring a chatas and they'll all be miskaper or no? So that's the afkamina that appears there. That's a machlegis at Tanaim. Velvela Soloveitchik, you're going to say from Chumash, refers you to a Pirush HaRaivin on the Toras Kohanim. That's really by the Raivin. Pirush HaRaivin is by the Raivin, and the famous Raivin on Toras Kohanim. Where he writes, Shevedech Rikri Kohol, based on this Pasuk Goy Kogani Yamimeko, is relevant for another point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Ani Hashem lo shanis ve'atem b'nei akiv lo chilisim. Malachi Hanavi says, I am God, I don't change. The essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. Only Nivroim are subject to change. The Bari Olam is above everything. He's above time and space. He's above change. V'atem b'nei akiv lo chilisim. And Klal Yisrael is not going to be wiped out. Klal Yisrael will never disappear. So the Gemara has a lashon in Perek Yesh Nochlin. Gemiri, we have a tradition that like call the shift to me, so it's impossible that a whole Shevet will be wiped out. It's not possible. Why? How do they know it's not possible? So that's what the Rabbi writes, because Yaakov Avinu has promised Goyi Kal Goyim Imimeko, he's going to have another Shevet, and that one Shevet Bin Yamin is referred to as Goyi Kal Goyim. So you see the Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, Benigir to what? So the Rabbi says, L'chol HaPachas Benigir to this Haftocheh, the Klal Yisrael will never be wiped out. So no one Shevet will be wiped out. There are always going to be survivors from every Shevet. Then the second in the second matter with the Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol, that's the Machlokes HaTanaim with respect to the Parlam Dovashel Tzibur issue, whether it even applies over there or not. Rambam has a famous comment in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and Mitzvah says a Kuf Nun Gimel, very long. Usually Sefer HaMitzvah gives you a paragraph b'kitzur for each mitzvah, and Kuf Nun Gimel is the mitzvah says they have the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana. The Rambam holds that it counts as one mitzvah, and the Ramban holds that it should count as two distinct mitzvahs. One is Kiddush HaChodesh, and the second one is Ibra HaShana. So the Rambam says this mitzvah, Kviyas HaLuach, really has to be taken care of by Klal Yisrael who live in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, only when the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael, then they're called Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz Lord don't count. They're not, they're Jewish, they're mechuyev in all the mitzvahs, but they're not called Klal Yisrael. How does he know? So he says, the din of parha on dovah shel tzibur. The Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos and Chorus proves it like that, because the din of parha on dovah shel tzibur depends on 51% of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael having violated Avera. And the Gemara considers the Jews in Chutz Lord not part of Klal Yisrael. They're Jewish, but they're not part of Klal Yisrael. So then the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah says in Kuf Nun Gimel, he writes a very fascinating comment. Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says it's Likuva because Kiddush HaChodesh is a mitzvah that's required of Klal Yisrael as a nation. It's not a Chavis HaYochid, and Klal Yisrael is only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. And then the Rambam adds on a sharp comment. He says, and even during the years of the Golus, that there were hardly any Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, but there was always a minion of Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. If there wouldn't be any Jews in Eretz Yisrael, even if we had millions and millions and millions of Jews living in Chutz Lord, that means that God violated his promise that Klal Yisrael will not disappear. Because Klal Yisrael refers to the Jews who actually live in Eretz Yisrael. Whoever doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael is Jewish, but he's not part of Klal Yisrael. So the Rambam says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised they'll never wipe out all the Jews, it doesn't mean that there'll be individual survivors. He meant to say that Klal Yisrael would always exist. Klal Yisrael, by definition, means the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Rambam says. We know that there were always Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban disagrees, based on a Medrash, based on an Agarata in the Gemara. He says the Gemara says that there were 51 years during which there were absolutely no Jews whatsoever living in all of Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Ramban read the Gemara. One can read the Gemara differently. It means in Eretz Yehuda there were no Jews living. In other parts of Eretz Yisrael there were Jews. Ramban thought that there was a period of time after the Churban Bais Rishon that absolutely Eretz Yisrael was empty out from Jews. There were no Jews at all. So he disagrees there on that Rambam in Mitzvah says the Kuf Nun Gimel. But the Rambam understood it that the Haftocha Atem Bnei Yaakov Lo Chilisim, Klal Yisrael will not be wiped out, means a minion of 10 Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. Pasuk says that after that promise, Goy Kal Goy Mei Mimeka, you're going to have another child, there's going to be another Shevet. So that's when Binyamin was born, and he was the final Shevet. So the Pasuk tells us that Rachel died right after Binyamin was born. And Yaakov Avinu doesn't take her to bury her in the Moras HaMachpelah, he buries her Kivasoretz Lavoi Efrasa, on the way to Efrat. This is a Shaila Rashi writes, later in Chumash, when Yaakov Avinu is having his son Yosef promise him that he's not going to bury him in Chutz Lord, he's going to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi writes, even though I was not matriach myself to bury your mother in Eretz Yisrael, but I insist that you should not bury me in Egypt, you have to bury me in Eretz Yisrael. So Ramban asked Rashi, what do you mean? Rachel Imenu wasn't buried in Eretz Yisrael. Efrat, Kivasar's lover, Efros on the way to Efrat. The whole thing is part of Eretz Yisrael. So apparently Rashi thinks that Eretz Yisrael in the days of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov didn't, the special status of Eretz Yisrael didn't apply to the whole land. It only applied to those areas which Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had purchased. Those areas were Eretz Yisrael. The Kevur Rachel at that time, it wasn't bought by the Ovis, it didn't belong to Bnei Yisrael, so it's not called part of Eretz Yisrael. That's apparently what Rashi thinks. Ban takes issue, he thinks that it's not correct. He says, what do you mean? Kevur Rachel was always considered an Eretz Yisrael. All of Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Yisrael. He disagrees with that Rashi. Rachel referred to the son as Benyamini. The Yankee Rabbi Vlaltaralo Binyamin. Yeah. She called him Ben Oni, that she's suffering at the time that he's born. Rabbi Vkarlo Binyamin. What does it mean, Binyamin? Benyamin. He was born La Negev. What's Negev? Because Yankee Ravina was on his way back from Aram Naharayim, Seretz Yisrael to the south. So that's called Benyamin, like when the Amoraim lived in Bavel, that's to the west of Eretz Yisrael, that's to the east of Eretz Yisrael, Bavel's to the east of Eretz Yisrael, so they referred to Eretz Yisrael as B'marava Amri, in the west they said. So Eretz Yisrael at that time was to the west of Bavel, that's called B'marava Amri. So here, Eretz Yisrael is to the south of Aram Naharayim, so that's called Benyamin. Why is the south called Yamin? I mean, you're facing, by us, Yamin would be east. If you look on a map, Yamin is east and Smol is west. So why is all of a sudden Ben Yamin is the son who was born in the south? So the simple answer, Derech HaPshat, is that years ago, that's the way all the maps used to be drawn. Instead of having north on the top, that's our practice. We put North Pole on top, that's north. Years ago, they always used to have east on top, Jews and non-Jews alike. That was the convention. When they drew a map, the east was on top, so the Mele south was to the right. If you're facing east, you're looking straight ahead east. So then south is to the right. So that's why it's called Benyamin, because he was born in Eretz Yisrael. The Goyim also made the maps like that. It has nothing to do with, it's not something Jewish over here. Did that have any significance? The fact that that have any relevance? The fact that Moli Yud Beishvat and Benyamin was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael? So the Medrash has a comment on this topic. How come the Beis Hamikdash is built only in the Chelkos of Binyamin? Yerushalayim is divided. Half of it belongs to Shevet Binyamin, half belongs to Shevet Yehuda. And the Mizbeach was built in the Chelkos of Binyamin. And that part of the Mizbeach that should have been there, that would have been the Chelkos of Yehuda, so that they didn't have that part of the Mizbeach. It was missing part of the Yisrael of Mizbech, because no part of the Mizbech may be in Chelka Shal Yehuda. So the Marsha has an interesting comment on that, on Zochim, why can't you have any part in Chelka Shal Yehuda? So he says, because the Halacha requires there should be a separation of church and state. Yehuda is the government. Lo Yosu Shevet Yehuda, the Malachim is supposed to be from Yehuda. The Halacha doesn't want that the government should be in control of the religion. Beis HaMikdash is the religion, and Yehuda is the government, so we want to have a separation. The government should be, the government officers should be in Shevet Yehuda, and the Beis HaMikdash should be in Shevet Binyamin. That's how the Marsha comments in the Chidush Agada on that Gemara. But the Medrash talks about Mipnei Mazocha Binyamin, Liyasosh Pizach and Yehuda. How come Binyamin from all the Shvatim was chosen? Why Dafke Binyamin? All right, we understand why you don't want Yehuda, because Yehuda represents the government. So why Dafke Binyamin? Why not one of the other Shvatim? So the Medrash gives two answers. One answer is that he was the only one who was born in Eretz Yisrael. So that's why Shevet Binyamin is up to the holier Shevet in a certain sense. So therefore their Mokum, therefore their share in, it's a little strange, therefore their share in Eretz Yisrael is more important than everybody else's share. So therefore the Beis HaMikdash should only be built B'chelka Shal Binyamin. Then Medrash has another answer, that because Binyamin wasn't born yet, so when they approached Esav in the beginning of the Parsha, so everybody's bowing down, except for Binyamin. He's the only one who didn't bow down because he wasn't born yet. So because he didn't bow down to Binyamin, that's why the Shechina, that's why the Beis HaMikdash should be built B'chelko. It could be that the two are interconnected. We know that Israelis, Jews who are born in Israel, are usually more independent than Golus Jews. Jews who live in Golos are always kafuf to the Goyim. They don't want to start up with the Goyim. Jews in Eretz Yisrael Sabras are very fresh. This is their country, they're independent, and they act in an independent fashion. So it could be that the two are connected in the Medrash. The Yamin is the one who was born in Eretz Yisrael, he was a Sabra, and he never bowed down to the Esav. The Jews who lived in Golos, the Golos Jews always bowed down to Esav, to the Goyim, to the Goyish governments. And the Jews born in Eretz Yisrael never bowed down. Not Kariyah Mishnah. Anyway, it's an interesting idea. We have such a din in the first parak in Chagiga, that an Evikneini is potter from Aliyah L'Regel for two reasons. First of all, women are potter from Aliyah L'Regel. The world calls Zuchurcha, so the women are not Mechayiv in Aliyah L'Regel. And Evikneini is only Mechayiv in Mitzvahs Keisha. Whatever Mitzvahs the Isha is potter from, the Evikneini is potter from. What if you have a Chatzi Ebed V'Chatzi Ben Chorin? So he is Mechayiv in Tzitzis and Tfilin and Shofar and Lulav. Why? The Chatzi Ebed is not Mechayiv, but the Chatzi Ben Chorin is Mechayiv. There's no halacha that the Chatzi Ebed potters him. It's not a point there. Abdus is not a poiter, Abdus is just not Mechayev. So the Chatzi Ben Chorin is Mechayevim. Except for Aliyah L'Regel. Aliyah L'Regel, the Gemara has a pasuk that in Evik 90 is Potami Lalas L'Regel. So the Sholosh Pam Lashoni Yirah calls Churcha as Pnei Ha'odon Hashem. So the Gemara has a drash, and Misha Ein Lo'ela Od Necho, Yotzen Zesh Yesh Lo'od Nacher. The only one is Mechayev to be Oyla Regel is a free man who doesn't have another Odon. So he can be Kofuf to the Rabban Shalom. But if a person has an Odin, a human being Odin, so then he already can't be kofruf to the Rabban Shalom, so may as well not be Oyla Regel. Oyla Regel is, Lira says, Pnei Hodin Hashem, to be kofruf to the Rabban Shalom. Whoever is kofruf, look at it. You're going to say, whoever is not self-employed is kofruf to the boss. No, the boss is not, he's not kofruf to the boss. He's not supposed to be kofruf to the boss. Many people are, they shouldn't. But in Eved Knaini, that's mamish. And Eved Knaini is kofuf to the Odin owns him. So that he can't really have a direct relationship with the Rabban Shalom because he's too kofuf to Abbas of Adon. So it's not going to work. So the Gemara says, if you have a chatzi Eved, a chatzi men chayrin, so he's not chayv la'alas la'regel because the Avdus is a point there. It's not like a chatzi Eved, a chatzi men chayrin, it's chayv in shayfer, it's chayv in tzitzis, and chayv in other mitzvahs because the Avdus is not a point, it's just the Avdus is not mechayiv. But over here, by Aliyah L'Regel, Avdus is a poiter. So that's why the Gemara says, even the Chatzi Eved, the Chatzi Mecharin, the Chatzi Eved is a poiter. So maybe that's the pshat over here. If Neima, the Medrash says, if Neima, Zocha, Binyomin, Aliyah, Ush, Bizachon, Lishchina, Hakam, Lishchina, the Mizbeach has to be Davka, Bechelke, Shel, Binyomin, not Bechelke, Shel, Yehuda, not anybody else's Chelek. So that's what the Medrash says, because he was not kofuf to... He didn't bow down to Esav. So in order to have the Shechin in your backyard, in your Shevet, you have to be a person who is very kofuf to the Shechin. Whoever is kofuf to Abbas of Adam is not going to be properly kofuf to the Shechin. Then the pasuk continues to say that after Yaakov Avinu returns back to Eretz Yisrael, so Esav was living in Eretz Yisrael for a while now. Esav packs up all of his stuff, his wife and his children and his grandchildren, packs everybody up, and he's leaving Eretz Yisrael, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. Vayelech al Eretz, he went to Chutz L'Eretz, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. What do you mean, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv? Eretz Yisrael, there's not enough room for Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov has a family, Esav has a family. He'll let him over there, he'll live over here. What's the problem? That's a Rashi quotes a Medrash that he made famous, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. They were told that there was a bris that was made with Avram Avinu, that Ger Yisarach Beres Lalehem Balvan Avinu Oetz Mamre Me'ashon Avigabas Ager Shiaber Adon Anochi, and then they'll come back and they'll get Eretz Yisrael. So Esav understood, if I want to get Eretz Yisrael, I have to suffer Arba Me'ashon Avdus. I don't want to do that. The Shtarchov Hamutol. Let my brother pay the Choyv. So Esav said, I'm packing up, I'm leaving Eretz Yisrael. I don't want the deal, I don't want anything to do with this. If you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you've got to be a Ger Yisarach, let my brother do it. So that's how Rashi quotes the Medrash. The Medrash understood that that's the line, Mipnei Yaakov Achiv. He didn't want to hang around in Eretz Yisrael. Esav didn't want to hang around in Eretz Yisrael. He's going to have to, in order to be allowed to maintain a location in Eretz Yisrael, means that you have to suffer Ger Yisarach Vavadim Yisrael Ma'am Yashana. So he didn't want to go through that. the end of the parsha, you have Eila Melachim Shemochu, the Eretz Edom. You have all these names. That's the question. What is the significance of all this? What do we need all this for? Why do we have to know who all these people are? Eila Bnei Yisov. So the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim has a comment. Eila Bnei Yisov. What do we care who the Bnei Yisov are? So the Rambam writes an interesting comment. It may or may not be relevant to Halacha. The Rambam writes, we have a special din for Amalek, the nationality of Amalek. So who exactly is Amalek? So the Chumash tells you the precise genealogy, that is Amalek. No one else. That's the only one who is Amalek. That's what Rav Beryl Soloveitchik pointed out, that Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim seems to contradict what his uncle, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, suggested. Now, Soloveitchik quoted from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Achidish, many years ago, that any nation in the world that adopts as its policy that they want to wipe out the whole Jewish people, so they have a din of Amalek. So he said the Nazis had a din of Amalek, and he said you're not allowed to take any reparations money because you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. Even though they stole more than they were giving back, you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. So that was a chiddush. So Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik wondered whether it's correct, because the Rambam and the Mor Nevuchim says the reason why the Chumash writes the whole genealogy of the descendants of Esau is in order to know who Amalek is. This is the Amalek that we're talking about. It means that it's only those who were direct descendants of this Amalek are called Amalek. Not some any nation that accepted it on itself as the policy that they want to wipe out the Jewish people. Yeah, but that's what's vital. What's with this Elam Lachav Shemochu Be'edom? What do you need all of this for? So there's a very long passage in the Zohar, something I'll pick up all with this. It's the Shvira Sakelem over here. Some interpretation of what the significance of the Melachim Shemochu Be'edom is. The Chumash has all of these names. They're all strange names. One of them is Mishem Mishnah Mehei Tavel Bas Matreid Bas Mei Zohov. A name, Mei Zohov. Two different words, Mei Zohov. Shaila, is it necessary the Yikuva to write Mei Zohov on one line in a Sefer Torah? So the Gemara Chulin says when you write the name Kedor Lo'Omer, you can't split it up on two lines, it has to be written on one line, Kedor Lo'Omer. So that's a shaila. Is Kedor Lo'Omer in the Sefer Torah that they had in the days of Gemara, was it written as one word? Like today, we write it as one word. So that's what the Gemara means to say, you can't have a hyphen in the middle of a word in a Sefer Torah. If you have a long name, have a long word, L'mishpachoseim, you can't write L'mishpachoseim. Then you write a hyphen, then you write with a hyphen, without a hyphen, you write the other half of the word on the next line. So you can't break up Kedor Lo'Omer into two lines, can't break it up into two words on the same line. It's supposed to be one word, that's what it means. That's what it means. It's one word and it has to be on one line because you can't break up a word on two lines. Or no, maybe in the days of the Gemara, Kedor Lo'Omer was written as two different words. That's how many Achreinim assume. It was really written as two different words, but since that was his name. Let's say this type of his name was Yankev Yisrael. So Yankev Yisrael is his name, so even though you leave a space when he gets married, when he gets divorced, you leave a space in between Yankev and Yisrael, but the two names have to be on one line. You shouldn't have the two names on two lines. So that's the Shiloh over here. Bas Matreid, Behei Tabel Bas Matreid, Bas Mezohov. So the name Mezohov are two words, but since it's somebody's name, it's two words, so you have a space in between. You have to have a space in between, enough space to put a yud, a tiny letter yud. But because it's one name, Mezohov, so it has to be written on one line or not. So that's the shaila by Kedor Lo'Omer. So in Hilchos Gittin, the Ramah is machma like that. If a person's name is, he writes, if someone's name is Kedor Lo'Omer, whose name is Kedor Lo'Omer, let's say a person's name is Yankev Yisrael, he's getting divorced. So he says you should be machma to put both names, Yankev Yisrael, on one line. You shouldn't put them on two lines. Some are machmer even by ksub, also like that, dafke to write it on one line. Others are only machmer by get. If it's a big shas hatchak, you make it by get also. A couple of months ago on Pesach, the Balabas who runs one of the hotels in the mountains, that's the Granite Hotel, is kosher the Pesach under the OU. So he always wants all the rabbanim from the OU office to come and visit and eat there to show that we're really convinced that it's kosher at Pesach, that they have a very good hashgacha there. So the last couple of years we go on Pesach to eat a meal there. So the last couple of years I go, so he says, I'm here already, so I may as well give a shiur. So they advertise in advance I'm going to give a shiur. So this past Pesach I went, and the people knew in advance I was going to give a shiur. So one woman comes over to me and she tells me that a distant relative of ours, related to Rafi Rosenblum, and she tells me she got married when she was very young, she was up to 17 or 18, and she got divorced after a couple of months, it didn't work out, and she was a young girl, she was so upset that she fell in, and she's so appreciative that my father took care of the get, and my mother was talking to her in the kitchen, she was holding her hand when they were writing the get, everything's going to be okay, they calmed it down. And then she says, there was a Shaila, and my father called Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe was Mekel. So she tells me what the Shaila was, at the Sefer, it was late in the afternoon, the meaning is that you write a get dafke bayom, you don't write balayla, it was late in the afternoon, and the Sefer wrote the get, and the Sefer made a mistake. Someone had two names, Yankim Yisrael, or Sarah Rachel, or something like that, Yehudis Yaffa. Someone had two names, and by mistake they wrote the two names on two lines. So it says, L'chatchili, you shouldn't do it, but it's a big shas ha-trak, so then you make all, even though the two names are written on two lines. So here there wasn't a big shas ha-trak, but it was late in the afternoon, and we have a meaning not to write a get balayla, unless it's a very big shas ha-trak. So if they would want to rewrite the get, to have both names on one line, she would have to come back tomorrow. And as it was, she was falling to pieces. She was a young girl, and she fell in, she was falling to pieces. My mother would have to hold her hand another hour the next day. And she wanted to get rid of it, she wanted to get the whole thing over already. So she said, my father called up Rav Moshe Feinstein on the telephone and he described the whole situation. We have a cloud that sometimes if you have a shas hadchak, he can be mekel, so it depends how serious an issue is to determine how serious the shas hadchak has to be. So this was the shaila, the fact that the girl was falling to pieces and she was so anxious to get the get and she was so young and everything, she felt so hurt. Maybe this was enough of a shas hatzak to be mekel to give the get the way it was. So she said, Rav Moshe was mekel, so my father gave the get on that day. So she told me how much indebted she was to my father, and the hakaras hatzak carries over to me, so she was going to listen to my drosh. Anyway, that's the story about Bas Mezahov, about writing. A person has two names, so l'chatchila in a sefer Torah, it's a more serious issue than in a get. In a big shas hatzak, we would be mekel if you have mezahav on two different lines. But the shas in the sefer Torah, the Gemara says kedor loim on two lines is pasul. So that's the shaila. And this man Agamar, they wrote kedor loim as one word, so that's what it means on two lines is pasul. Well, no, they wrote kedor loim as two words with a space in between. And still, since it's the one name, it's the name of one person, like mezahav, so still, if you write it on two lines, it's pasul b'diavad. So Sefer Torah is one thing, more chomer, and a get is less chomer, and a ksuba is much less chomer. But for sure, l'chatchila, the two names should be written on one line. Okay, I want to wish everybody a good Shabbos. Good.
Did Josh say to close the computer, or should we leave it?
I think so. That's my good the other day. I closed it like this.
Oh, okay.
Put it closed, and I'll shine.
I guess if you just close the tab, I don't think it's...
Should I close the tab?
Sure.
Okay. Now, what do you do with this? Thank you.